Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. We call upon the Holy Spirit, Lord, that they may enable us to share effectively, to receive, Lord, effectively, the things you have done for us. The Lord, they may be not just thoughts and ideas of our mind, but our hearts and our spirit may be touched today. That we may be able, Lord, to make that connection with you that makes all the difference. And it does what is your desire for us to have. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We have been talking about this new series, the basic faith principles. And when I started, I had prepared already everything for the old series. It's a joke, you know. No, it was true, but it doesn't work that way. Okay? They always, you start and then it changes up everything. So, you know, what I've been, will be teaching today, I just was completely off, was not even in the picture. So, well, actually part of it, yes, but not the other part. So he expanded on some ideas that I really think that are important and going to be making a difference, I believe, because the truth, what the word says, is important for us to understand and to receive. So the first things that we really focused on was the fact that, you know, faith really is nothing more than trusting God that will keep his promises and keep his word. Okay? It's not something that we had to work up. It's just a question of simply trusting the Lord. And it's based on the basic truth that we should all know, but to the degree that we know, be it to, it's important that God is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful not to things that we want or the things that we is faithful to his word. And so when we have a word basis for what we believe and what we expect, we can count on it. Maybe we don't know the way he's going to do it. And the problem often is that we try to tell him how to do it, when instead we have no clue in the way he's going to work. And so because of that, we come in hindrance instead of, you know, enabling him to do it because we get in the way. We have to realize that God knows what he's doing and we don't. Amen. All right? Not only that, but, you know, that we can't even figure it out the way these things are going to happen. Because from a cause and effect point of view, they don't make any sense. You see, when God works in miraculous ways, he does, doesn't he? That's what he likes. He doesn't work naturally. He works supernaturally. So because he works supernaturally, we can't figure out the way he's going to do it because we think naturally. Even when we are spiritually guided and we spiritually receive things from God, we still use our natural logic to come to conclusion from some starting point. And by itself, it's a problem. Because we don't know how it go from A to B because he has his ways. Okay. So what we have to realize is that the only thing we have to do is to know that his word is true. And that he's going to keep his word. And he's going to do what he said he was going to do. Okay. So, the bottom line here that we are talking about is really about him rather than us. And the key to the result we get in general is not so much us, but our relationship with him. You see, it's not, it cannot be a mind relationship because the mind relationship is not going to resolve some of the problems. has to be a spiritual relationship. He's a spirit. Those who worship him, how do they worship him? In spirit and in truth. So the fact that we, you know, that relationship has to be a spiritual relationship, not a theological relationship. Do I have to repeat that again? You see, it's not a theological relationship. I mean, your theology can be all straight and all right. You get nowhere. You say, why is it not working? Are you following me? So, there is something that the Bible says that is so important, okay, about our attitude in our perception about God that determines what happens in our relationship with him. And one of the things that the Bible says is that what we say about God, he will be to us. You see, we have, it's natural for us to do something. One of the natural things for us to do is to project ourselves into others. If we are stingy, or if we are unforgiving, we think and believe that everybody else is stingy and unforgiving, or whatever the things we are in, because that's what we are used to. So because of that reason, we, if we are unforgiving, or we are hard in general, we think that God is hard. And if we think that way, God is going to be hard with us. That's what the Bible says. So essentially, we trap God into making unable to help us. Yeah, that's the word. You see, our experience in life in the past often determines what our experience in life is going to be in the future. That does not need to be so. We had to break that cycle. We had to do something about that so not to be trapped in our past. See, what we think, how we judge even God, because we judge God all the time. That brings about what's called circumstantial theology, or, blaming God for things because we think in a certain way. Okay, I'm going to read from Psalm 78, verse 40. And this says some things that are so important for us to understand and to apply to our life. It says there, how often they provoked. Now, this is talking about Israel as they were coming out of Egypt. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. So you see, two things they did. They provoked him. They got upset. They got him upset. And they grieved him because of what they were doing. Okay. What were they doing? Yes. Again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Now, the word tempted there is translated, could be translated any in a different way. I mean, you can translate it as they passed judgment on him. Or they tested him. You know, they said all the time, why did you, Moses, bring us into the desert to die here? Now, after what happened before they left, all those miraculous signs that God worked out, what happened at the crossing of the Red Sea, I mean, everybody killed there that wasn't there, and then, you know, and for them passing on ground on solid sound or you know, dry sound soul there without any problem. 2 million people. I mean, are you so short-sighted or short, you know, can't you remember anything? The problem is with us. See, we are ready to say, you know, the Israel, oh boy, you know, how can they do that? We do that all the time. Why? Because what we see in front of our nose is the things that affect us much more than the things that happened in the past, even if it was just yesterday. So you see, this is where the problem comes, that we are quick to judge instead of remembering. As it says here, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. We had the ability to limit God by the way we interpret or see the things that they and attribute it to him and says, why, God, you put me in this place? When that is not the place he wanted to put you in the first place, and in the second place, okay, you got yourself there. And you're blaming him for having put you there. But even if that would be the case, he is going to find the solution because he found the solution before. And if instead of limiting him, if instead of blocking, instead of you know, determining what he can do and we cannot do, by our position and our judgment, we allow him to be himself and trust in him, then he's going to be able to work the thing through. But they all died in the desert. Except two of them, that had a different confession. I mean, that's a big observation that we are making there. I mean, it's not just, you know, all the 2 million of them of an age, certain age, you know, the younger one did, they got in. You know, because otherwise the only two people cannot go in the country. All right. The younger one got through. But the old one, all they went. Because they judged God and limited his ability to work for them. But wasn't so for Joshua and Caleb. You remember. What did they say? He said, we can certainly do it. He said to go through, and we are going to go through. They didn't compromise what God has said, and they stood on the word, and they trusted what he said, and didn't matter if the other one looked like giant, and they looked like grasshoppers. You see, that was the difference. It was a very simple difference. They, one, limited God, judged God, did not allow him to do what he wanted to do and we had promised to do in the first place. And so, really, they were not operating in faith. But if you remember, when Joshua was 80 years old or something like that, and he said, I'm 80 and I'm just better than when I was 40. Those 40 years in the desert had no effect on him physically because he was still strong to be able to get into the land and take possession of what God has given him. You see, I mean, does it make sense logically? No. You can't figure that out, can you? Who can? Nobody. Because it's not logical. But God is working supernatural ways so that he can do the things he said he would do and accomplish his purposes. But what we have to do is to be careful what our mouth says, what we are thinking and what we are the way we are judging. You know, the word says that this was not just for them, reported in the Bible, but was for our example. See, we should know, understand, and respond in the right way so that God can do what he said he would do. You see, God's promises are not automatic. They are received by faith, by are received by believing what the word of God says. We are received by trusting in him what he has going to said he was going to do to us. If we don't trust him, we limit his power, we stop ability to supernaturally operate in our life, and we are not going to see it coming to pass. Are you following me? So, we cannot go around grumbling and complaining about things happening in our life. Because if we do that, this is the way you tempt and grieve and provoke God. We cannot depend on our feelings. We have to depend on the Word of God. You cannot depend on your circumstances. You have to depend on the Word of God. I'm not saying that that is the easy thing to do, because the circumstances are going to affect your feeling. Your feeling are going to affect your emotions. Your emotions, your reasoning, your things. You go and let it, you just focus on that, you're going to go under. There's no way. So there are things that are important to be able to make it through. One of them is not to be in isolation, you know, like our brothers were saying before. You know, knowing that there is a support of others that believe the same thing, and you see them and they encourage you and they support you in prayers. They do things that help you to know that you are not by yourself. You cannot fight the battle by yourself. Now, God is with you. But being in the right environment, with the right people around you, that gives you strength to make it through. But that's not by itself enough. You know, you have to make sure that they're really helping you. Because sometimes people try to help and they don't. Okay. But let me remind you one example here of this in the New Testament. Do you remember the parable of the talents when, you know, the three guys were given some money, you know? Do you remember what happened with the guy that had a vision of God as one, our taskmaster, and he was not going to do anything with the money, and he put it there and put it away. Everything was taken away from him. You see, that is a reflection, New Testament example of that taking place for us to understand that if we expect God to work for us, we have to believe that he's not a hard taskmaster, but he's a loving father. So that's why we are going to start today. But there is more. See, there is more to move in the miraculous. But to start with, we have to start with the relationship that we have with the Father, so that we have the right picture of who he is. You know, this is nothing else than the principle of sowing and reaping. You know, we reap what we sow. So if we are snared by the difficulty or the problem that we go through, you know, what we have to do is to remember the way Israel had to do, remember what God had done before, so that we do not limit what God is going to do in the future because of what's happening today. Are you following me? Okay, so this is where, you know, there are lots of scripture that can help us to move in that dimension. For example, in James chapter 1, and actually it was actually quoted already prophetically to before, it says, my brethren, verse chapter 1, verse 2, James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know, that sounds like a contradiction of terms. Oh, hallelujah, I got into a trial today. Well, that's the point is, you see, he's giving us the way out. You go around grumbling and complaining and you're going to stay in there. He's saying, you have to make a decision. You see, it doesn't say be joyful. It says count it all joy. So you have to start from a place and say, okay, you know, this is, I have to count a joy because I know that this is the way to deal with this. And instead of swallowing into your feeling sorry for your poor little me, you have to say, wait a minute. I counted this all joy. It may hurt at the moment, but I counted all joy. Why? It says it there. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith, so there is a testing. The testing of your faith produces patience, which actually the word there could be translated endurance or steadfastness. So you have to learn to stand through it. You see, it's like when you develop, you know, you are in sports and you try to get a new level. You know, you have to push yourself against the limits you have. So you are pushing yourself, and the fact is, you are not pushing, you're not by choice. It's that you know, somebody else pushes you there because he hopes to destroy you. But he cannot do that. Okay? Produces, and the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or complete, I mean mature, lacking nothing. So the idea is, okay, you know, you had to reach a certain place. And now there is a test. The test can either promote you beyond that, or you can regress and losing what you already got. That's the bottom line. Now, the test doesn't come from God. Okay? But then let's continue here. There are a couple of scriptures in James there that relate to that. In verse 12 of James chapter 1, says, blessed is the man. See, you are blessed. He's talking still about the temptation. And he's talking that you are blessed if the man who endures or perseveres or stands with fortitude, you know, temptation. So endures temptation. So he stands there. For he, when he has proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, the bottom line there is that loving him becomes the critical element, because the loving him is what enables us to have the right attitude to start with, because we trust him. We see, we love him because we trust him, and because we trust him, we do what he tells us to do, and because we tell us to do, we rejoice, and we count it all joy. You see, all thing is all connected. It's not just the one element to say, oh, I'm going to count it all joy. No, it's not that. It's not the fact that we are ready to fight. It's the fact that we are loving God, and now we know that God loves us. And we trust him, and because we trust him, we are ready to say what he said he would do. Even if at the moment, that's the last thing we feel like doing, rejoicing or feeling count it all joy. See, we don't go by the feelings we have, because the feelings we have are going to be, whoop, poor little me. We are going to say, no, I count it all joy because I'm going to endure, get through, and at the end, I'm going to be better off, just like Job did, with it 10 times better than it was before. See, but that requires endurance. All right? It's not automatic. But God never said it was going to be automatic. He said we are going to get the victory. Amen? Let me continue here. Okay. Verse, the crown of life of which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. You see, this is the say, God is doing it to me. God doesn't do these kind of things. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. See, that is the blaming God that they did in the desert. We should have learned from them and not do it ourselves. But you know, our emotions are very strong. And they can affect us. They can make us feel bad. And they can feel complaining. And we can do that. Then we gamble, you know, end up in Grumbling Street and, you know, complaining and grumbling. And that gets us to the wrong place. Yeah. Okay. So, verse 16 of the same chapter of James says, but do not be deceived. See, to the point of view, this is deception. You see, the feeling brings deception. Our emotions are deceiving us. When we are tempted, our emotions are in the picture all the time. They make us want things that we shouldn't want. And they make us complain about things that we shouldn't complain. All right, so I mean, that's deception, isn't it? They trick us in. They snare us. Okay? So every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow turning. So you see, do we believe that? Do we really believe that? That's the bottom line. Do we believe that, you know, when everything goes well, you know, and it's sunny and everything is fine. Hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Good weather, Christians. But when things don't start to go well, why me, Lord? Sorry. You see, at that moment, you had to have endurance if you want to get anywhere, and you had to say no. I count it all joy because when I'm going to be finished here, he's going to be defeated. Amen?
Amen?
You see, but need some... See, you can be wishy-washy, you know, weak person and be a Christian. Christians need to be strong. That says, you know, that the weak say, I'm strong. Physical, it's not a question of being physically strong. You know, yeah. You can be physically weak and spiritually strong because you have developed your spirit to stand against the attacks of the enemy. And when a new attack comes, when a new trial comes, you know that at the end of the story, you're going to be stronger than before. Amen? Amen? So, you know, the bottom line is really, do we trust God in all this process? Do we? Do we really try? Do you really believe that God loves us? Well, you know, that's what Jesus came to show us. That Jesus came to show us, you know, that God is a loving Father. All the gospel showed that, all his behavior, ministry showed that, everything that he did and everything that happens after that shows that. So, you know, the first place, if we want to develop a strong faith, is to make that connection with God based on the fact that God loves us. And it's not a religious experience. And we really believe that God loves us. So we had to, you know, if you want, instead of starting to get your faith strong, you had to get the image of God improved in your mind. See, as we get the God's image inside us, that he loves us, and some people have a problem about having, you know, father relationship because they have father relationship bad, so they think, you know, God project the image of the father, their father on God, and they have a difficulty there. But yet to overcome that, and you can overcome that by going to the scriptures. See, you have to read the Bible. Not just for faith, but for everything that connects you with God. You have to allow the truth that God loves you to become a reality in your heart. Because when you go that, then you are not trying, you see, you are not depending on yourself. You are not trying to have faith in your faith anymore, but you have faith in God. And that's what Jesus said, a faith in God. Amen. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. You know, There is a scripture there in Luke chapter 1, 11, verse 9. Says, you know, so what do you say? I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you for everyone. Can you say everyone? Doesn't everyone include you? So it says, everyone who asks receives. Let's say it together. Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Praise the Lord. I mean, that applies to you. See, we are not questioning, I'm going to receive. He said, everyone. So when the devil says, you know, are you sure that you're going to receive? He says, everyone. That's the word says, I believe that, I don't believe you. Okay? But that's, you see, that's a scripture, a starting point in which you had to have. Because otherwise, if you're questioning if you're going to get the answer or not, you're already in the wrong territory. All right? And then so it goes on, says, if a son asks for bread to any father among you, will he give him a stone? And he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent instead of the fish. Or if he asks for an egg, he will give him a scorpion. If you then, being evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give your Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And with the Holy Spirit, you know, implying there, you know, just the gift of the Holy Spirit, but everything that the Holy Spirit brings, which is actually the power unto overcoming. You see, he was talking about ask and you shall receive. So the receiving is through the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is functional in manifesting the things that you are asking for. See, just this is the thing that we have to understand. Beloved, 3 John 1:2 says, you know, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be healthy just as your soul prospers. So the idea is as our soul prospers. Our soul, the only way for our soul to prosper is our connection with God. It's not how much of a Bible study we do. We can do all Bible study and be really all mental activity and all the things that are really not touching, not affecting our life. What counts is what the way that our life is affected. So our relationship with the Father is producing the prosperity of our soul, and the prosperity of our soul brings about the victory and the prosperity of our physical and mental and emotional and everything that we have. All right? So that's for the Father. But doesn't stop there. You know, the Bible says it also that we look at Jesus. And Jesus is the representation of the Father. He said, Jesus said to Philip, Philip, you know, you ask me, show us the Father. Look at me, you see the Father. So everything that Jesus did is a reflection of the Father. So, and Jesus was very clear about the things that, you know, the thief that comes but to steal and kill and destroy. I came to give you life more abundantly. So you see, anything, trial evidently is not really a necessarily abundant life. There is a struggle, a problem that you are experiencing. All right? So that's not coming from the Father. That's coming from the other one that puts the, you know, stick in our wheels to try to make us fall. Okay? But we had the Father to help us. And Jesus came to do that. You know, it says in 1 John 3:8 that, you know, that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That means to get us in victory over our temptation and our trials. So we had to understand and stand firm on that position. Hallelujah. Jesus came to give healing, deliverance, salvation to us. You know, he was anointed, you know, by the Holy Spirit and with power so that he, you know, was doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So you see, anybody that was had a problem in any type of form, he came to set them free. When we know that, we know that he's there for us to help us. All the manifestation that he did were for bringing about the changes that he wanted so that we can overcome the temptation or the problem that we are going through. Amen? See, but what I'm doing now here is putting us in the starting point. We cannot go farther if we haven't resolved these issues within ourselves. If we are not settled with the word about our relationship with the Father that is based on a love relationship between him and us, and because he loved us, we love him. You see, our ability to love back is limited if we consider him as the source of our problems. God, why you put me in this place? When instead God is there limiting what the devil can do to you because he cannot do more than what God thinks you can overcome. See? Praise the Lord. So you can stand there. Now, that doesn't get us yet into the area of the miraculous. We're going to talk that next week. But for this week, we are preparing ourselves to be able to get in the area of the miraculous. See, with God, there is no rush. He can take all the time of the universe, the time, because it's out of time. The thing is, we are spiritual beings. We are out of time too when we start walking in the Spirit. And so what we had to, you see, part of that is walking in the Spirit. You start to believe him, start to allow him to develop the plan that he, you see, with all temptation, says in Second Corinthians, you know, with all temptation, he has a way out. This is a way out. So he starts to work the way out, which is a supernatural way. It's not a natural way. You see, if it's a natural way, then you don't need God to do it. God moves supernaturally. So to move supernaturally, there are supernatural events that have to take place. And so we have to allow that to happen. As we trust him and we don't limit him because has to be today. Now. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay, so Jesus did all the things he did to show us the Father love. You know, you know, Matthew 8:16 says, you know, talking about he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. You know, so really, that's the bottom line. You know, all infirmity, all the problem, all the weakness and everything that we're taken care of. And that confirmed what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 53. So that's where the things that he did, okay, were to a demonstration of what God had promised. Okay. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, important thing that there that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed everyone who hangs on a tree. So you see, the curse of the law is the source of all the problem. The curse of the law came because of the initial break of the law from Adam and Eve. That had to be broken. That has been broken. And this is because of the love of God. He took the initiative to do something about that, as he had promised at the beginning. You see, at the beginning, everything was established at the beginning. He promised everything at the beginning and then expanded on the promise so that we can understand it. And finally completed the promise when Jesus came and he, you know, lived, taught, died for us and was resurrected so that the whole things that happened before could be broken. We are no longer under the curse of the law. And because we are no longer under the curse of the law, this problem should not be manifesting in our life. And the only reason why they're manifesting in our life is because the enemy is still trying to import his way on us. and we had to resist them. See? Hallelujah. So that's why he did everything that he did. Jesus did everything that he did. You know, the Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says that we are not appointed to wrath. That means, you know, that there is nothing that should, that wrath shouldn't touch us. And we shouldn't even think about that. Because just by thinking about that, we open ourselves up to that kind of distorted mentality that ticks people, God off. That really hurts Paul, hurts God for what he has promised us, because it shows that we don't believe him, we believe the devil. Okay? Jesus, that you knew no sin, became sin for us, so that we may become the righteousness of God. We had to start believing that we had the righteousness of Christ in us because we trust in him. You see, it's our relationship. Again, it's again a relationship thing between us and Jesus. We trust what Jesus did. We don't trust what we do. We don't even trust what we believe. We just trust only that we believe in Jesus. And what he has done and what he has said is enough for us. See, without that, you cannot have a strong faith. Everybody that had a faith in the Gospels is because they trusted in him. And they didn't, you know, they didn't even need a Bible. They just went for around what other people said. I mean, you know how reliable are people saying is today. And they, during that, there was enough for them to believe and to receive miracles all over the place. Should we have more of a basis to believe after we can read the whole Bible? We can know, understand what all of us are about? Shouldn't we remember and not forget, like Israel did in the desert, all the things that God did before? Because, you know, he just didn't do it with ourselves. He did it with millions of others. Hallelujah. See, we should realize that we have the righteousness of God in us. That our relationship, see, our relationship, what does it mean to have the righteousness of God? You know, that our relationship with God is free. There is no any bondage, any blockage, anything there. Everything is gone. We are accepted in the beloved, says. The God has forgiven us, and there is nothing there. There is no condemnation to those who walk according to the Spirit. And to that, the question of us to really believe, looking at Jesus as our source, period. You know? There is no condemnation toward us. There is no charge. In Romans chapter 8, verse 33 says, who shall bring charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. You see, God has justified us. He is not there trying to pick us and that you did that, you condemn us and find all the problems and the mistakes we make. Oh, we make mistakes, sure. But we make mistakes, and if we put our trust in Jesus and we want to do what Jesus wants us to do, we are free from the consequences. Hallelujah. Every good blessing, every good gift, any perfect gift come from the Father of lights. So all the, we had to be open to receive those blessings. See, God wants to pour blessings on us. But we had to believe it so that we are not limiting him from blessing us. See, that's what most believers do. You know, some people are good. They have a good life. They do the right thing. But when it comes to receiving, they have a really difficulty in receiving. God doesn't want that to be the case. God wants us to receive easily. In fact, you see sometimes people just get saved. Their life is still a mess, and they can get big miracles. Some good Christians have been Christian for 50 years, They can even get a sniffle yield. Okay? What's the problem there? Is because they are bad? No. It's because they have a religious idea. Their relationship with God is based on the law instead of based on love. Because if it's based on love, then it's a reciprocal exchange of things between you and God, and it's easy to receive. So if we need anything today, is to develop a love, true love relationship with God. Another question of being legalistic. Legalism is the end of our relationship with God. Okay. God, let me say a final statement here. God's position toward us does not change with our behavior. His love is unconditional. If you are good or bad, the problem is, you know, if we are not connected with Him in a relationship with Him, we cannot receive. And so we need to make that connection properly. See, God says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, Malachi 3:6 says, you know, I'm the Lord, I change not. That, you know, and the thing interesting there says something that says after, therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. You see, if they would be consumed because He knew that they were making mistakes all the time. But because God is always good, He always wants a good thing, He's not going to blast you out because you made a little mistake. Are you following what I'm saying? So you see, this is the starting point. We want to get into the miraculous, you have to get into the flow of the power of God. Now the Bible shows us how to get into the miraculous. And we are going to talk about that next week. You know, I thought it was going to take 5 minutes to really explain that, but I really found out that it's going to take the whole day there. So just, but to prepare yourself. You see, it's not a question of just saying, okay, you know, I'm finding out, tick it off, and I do that. No, you have to prepare yourself spiritually to be able to receive that and start implementing some things in your life that are only valid to the degree. See, you can be legalistic about that too. So the only reason, that's why, you know, it's not just a question of just saying, do that, you know, because it's not what you do. It's what's going on inside you that makes a difference, because you do it out of love and out of relationship with God. Amen? Do you get anything today? All right, so let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the instruction that you give us. Thank you, Lord, for the warning that you give us concerning, Lord, limiting you and saying the things, seeing you the wrong way and allowing you to be who you are. Lord, we just thank you for the love that you have for us. Just impress it on us. Make us respond to that love with just as much love and wanting to love you even more. So that, Lord, we may fully manifest in us, Lord, something that is so easy for you to do. The manifestation of your miraculous power in our lives to address and resolve any situation that we may have. We just praise and thank you, Lord. And we stand on your word. And we believe on your word. And we believe that you love us. And we believe that you can receive the love, Lord, and we can feel love for you more than for anything else. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.